Clifton High Voices.
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 Yeah! Hello, and welcome to episode 7 of Clifton High Voices. I am Luke Goodman, Deputy Head Pastoral, and I'm delighted that we're joined by three of our sixth form students today. Annika, Amelia and Catherine are here to discuss this month's Pride events, look to discuss how we as a community can better recognise and celebrate the diverse nature of our global community. And I think it's best to start with an introduction, guys. So if you could to let everyone know a little bit about yourself, we'll kickstart this podcast.
Sure. Hi, my name is Annika. I was in year 13 until quite recently. I've just finished my A-levels. I was doing maths, further maths and chemistry. In September, I hope to do a degree at York in chemistry.
My name is Amelia, and like Annika, I've also just finished year 13. I did biology, chemistry and maths A-levels, and I'm also going to York, but I'm studying biomedical science next year.
My name's Catherine. I'm in year 12. And I'm studying biology, chemistry and maths for A-levels, and I'm also taking a music tech AS.
Brilliant. And as we started, we mentioned that we might discuss our pronouns within this. So I'd say mine are he and him.
Mine are she and her.
Mine are also she, her.
Mine are also she, her.
Fantastic. And this podcast comes about that we recognise internationally throughout this month or the months around June, Pride. And it's really important for us to maybe start off by discussing what Pride means to us and to you guys, and the thoughts that you have that surround some of the different LGBTQ plus issues currently. We are able to discuss what the school community has been doing and what it plans to do in the future. Because I know some of you have acted or acting as prefects that support diversity and inclusivity within Clifton High School. And we'll really want to tackle some of the issues that are being celebrated across mass media currently, and that many of our listeners may have picked up on as Pride has really extended to its global community, and certainly one that's been recognised most recently here at Clifton High School in Diversity Week. So, starting off, Annika, what does Pride mean to you?
Oh, that's a very difficult question. As much as it feels like at school, like I'm a grown-up because I'm older than everyone else and just finishing, I'm really not. I don't know what's going on in the world. I want to. I'm going to learn. Hope to go off to uni and learn about lots of different types of people. But the reality is, I'm only just finished being a child. I think that that's a difficult question because Pride can mean so many different things to one person and also to everyone else. To me, there's a lot of it showing respect for those who came before us who fought and lost their lives or had their lives significantly altered, changed or damaged for the privileges that I have today. I can take part in a podcast like this and say out loud, I'm gay, and not have a teacher shout at me or be kicked out of school or be kicked out of my job. I have the privilege to be protected by law in this country, and I think it's a good time to remember the people that fought for that.
Yeah, and I think you raise a really important point that some of our older listeners will recognise in their own schooling or in their own profession, if the teachers are listening here, that only a matter of a few decades ago, that a lot of the discussion of points we're going to raise in today's podcast were not allowed to be taught or discussed openly. And so we've come a long way. But it's right to recognise, you know, our past and how that plays a part in ensuring that the future is a lot more vibrant, a lot more understanding, a lot more respectful. Amelia, now you delivered a school assembly on Pride prior to Pride Month. What did you discuss in that assembly?
We discussed the sort of school atmosphere and how LGBT issues are treated in different schools, you'd say. And in our school especially, what we can do in the future to help younger LGBT students be more out, be proud, and but also have the support and recognition that they need in the school.
And so what does Pride mean to you?
I think Pride means a lot of things, and it is a really individual thing for each person. But I like the idea of Pride being a celebration to recognise everyone's differences, diversity among the community, not just within sexuality and gender, but race and all sorts of other things like religion. And I think it's really important to recognise that while we may be able to celebrate in this country or in certain places, that other countries aren't that privileged. And so it's similar to what Annika said, it's recognising the fight that has happened before we were able to reach this point.
Yeah, and I think a number of our young people in our community certainly recognise the themes of what you've delivered in that assembly and have said that they want more information and more education on that. And this plays a very insignificant part in delivering that as we continue to thrive to improve the delivery of our PSHE programme across the school in standalone lessons, but equally in elements like this, a podcast in Pride Month. So Amelia, you finished this year in year 13 having been kind of a pioneer in a sense. You've been our school's first inclusivity and diversity prefect, and that mantle is going to be taken on by Catherine as she embarks in a prefecture role with the same capacity next academic year. So a similar question to you, Catherine, what does Pride mean to you?
I think, as said before, Pride is so diverse and it has so many different meanings to so many different people. But in my opinion, Pride's a lot about looking back at how far we've come and how far we still need to go, in the sense that, as we've talked about before, in some countries you still can't talk about this. In some countries it is still illegal to be part of the LGBT community. And it's also about spreading awareness and education and talking to people who don't necessarily understand and educating them. And it's basically putting a spotlight on the issues that the LGBT people face even today, and just educating people about how they can fix that and just change their attitudes towards their opinions, I guess.
Definitely a time of love.
Yeah.
Like, people loving each other, people educating and raising awareness with love, people interacting with love, people remembering their loved ones with love. All of it is just so positive, despite the fact that we remember and acknowledge negative things.
And that word itself, straight away, it draws me towards the new school aims and ethos and values that we're embarking on here at Clifton High School, because love features directly in our new school values. And I think it's really important that our young people in our school community recognise what we mean by that. So how do you see, Annika, that word interplaying with what's being discussed globally within this Pride period or Pride month?
Being discussed globally or being discussed within the school, I'm sorry?
I think globally it's really important for us to think about how, you know, our young people might be seeing in everyday mass media, on their social media, their TV, whatever they're looking at. How is it currently being portrayed across the world?
Currently, I would say that representation for LGBT community is improving, but is definitely not where we need it to be yet. A lot of people hear the word sexuality and immediately think of sex, which is not what it is at all. It is about love. And I think as a child, I really, really would have benefited from seeing people not just in the media, but also in real life, who were like me. As a person of colour, I think that also plays into it, not ever seeing anyone on TV who looked like me. But also, I needed to know as a child that the life that I was going to live wasn't a wrong one and that I could live a normal life. I only ever saw, I don't know, mummies and daddies, husbands and wives. I want to work quite hard helping Amelia out as LGBT prefect, and later in my life working so that kids don't have to be in that situation that I was in, not knowing that they could live a happy, normal life and have their life not be defined by who they love or what their gender is, but by the achievements that they choose to make. I want to be a scientist first. Obviously, I'm a woman. Obviously, I'm a gay woman, or to me at least. But I want it to be my work and my choices that define me, not the way everyone else sees me.
And so everyone having a voice and everyone listening to that voice is really important in all areas of life, not just the one that's maybe been celebrated this year. Amelia, how do you think people can raise the awareness of what the Pride message is currently delivering? You know, maybe we consider about the issues and the impact those issues have on the LGBTQ plus community. And what do you think our young people in particular need to have an awareness of?
I think with these sorts of issues, people think that to actually make a difference, you have to do a big thing. You have to be an activist. You have to speak in front of lots of people, but you don't. You can do really small steps to help people, which can be calling your friends out if they say something like, oh, that's so gay, a typical phrase that some young people use to insult people, when in fact it's not. So I think making a difference in the community can really be as small or as big as you make it. It can be however much you are comfortable doing.
And Catherine, is it important that our young people recognise that they have a role to play? That as Amelia said, even how small it might be, that their impact may make a significant difference?
Yeah, I think intolerance starts at a young age. You're not born intolerant, but you're taught it. So educating people to learn that these things aren't okay. You can't say these because these are offensive, these upset people, these words are harmful to say about other people. I think even though to some people they're quite small, so respecting people's pronouns, it does nothing to you, it has no effect on you, but to someone whose pronouns you are respecting, it has a massive effect on them, because it just, for some people it can make their day, because they might live in a family that doesn't know, so they constantly live with having their pronouns disrespected. And I think just small steps that maybe have no effect to you could have a massive effect on other people. So even taking these small steps could be a massive thing to other people.
Now, I stumbled when I asked this question to you, Annika, on the acronym LGBTQ+. Do you think people worry about getting things wrong? Do you think people are nervous about saying the wrong thing, and that can lead to a lack of change or a lack of understanding?
Absolutely. I think that it should be absolutely right for a person to not know the exact correct language to use, to not know exactly what's the right thing to say, but to come forward again with love in their heart, with respect in their heart, and just say, hey, I don't really know what the right words are, but I want to show you that I respect you and I want you to be part of the community I live in. Here is, I don't know, some cake, come share it with me, let's have a chat about this. I don't think that every LGBTQ+, as you say, person should have to have the responsibility of educating others. You know, just because you're born a certain gender or liking a certain gender doesn't mean that you should have the extra responsibility compared to a straight person of having to educate people. But if someone makes the choice to educate you, there should be space to listen and learn. There should never be, oh, you got it wrong, that's it, you're done, cancelled.
Yeah, and we hope that podcasts like this and introduction to new themes and topics within the way in which we educate our young people will help give that bit of confidence and take it away, that responsibility from individuals to have to do so. Are there any other things, Amelia, that you feel that people can do to be more of an ally? We touched on this idea, this concept of maybe raising awareness of the issues, but maybe we're looking at it wrong. Maybe we should be celebrating the diversity more and requesting that people become allies more than just understanding what the past has led to this becoming.
Yeah, I mean, becoming an ally is a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of a strange phrase to me, because it's like, how does one person go from being not one to being one? But I think the step that you would take is being openness to change and willing to learn and understand everything. Well, not necessarily everything, sorry, but understanding what it's like to be in the community and how you can help. So being an ally may just be listening to someone while they talk about issues that they have with their sexuality or gender, or it could be calling out homophobia or protecting someone from homophobia. It can be, like I said before, really small things or really big things. Both can make a difference.
And last week, as part of School's Diversity Week, Catherine, you led on assembly with Jack, another one of our inclusivity and diversity prefects. What was the message you delivered to the school community on that assembly?
Our message, hopefully, was to talk about tolerance and just respect in general. So our assembly covered the topics of Stonewall, what Pride is, why it's celebrated, and just how you can be respectful as a person, even if you don't fully understand. So, because not a lot of people do understand, maybe if they haven't grown up being taught about this, but I think we were talking about being willing to change, openness, just being willing to just respect, even if you yourself don't fully understand because it's not an experience that you go through. Like, if you aren't part of the LGBT community, you won't ever fully understand how they feel, what they've been through, because you don't yourself experience it. But I think just being respectful of those experiences that they have and just learning, be willing to learn and just tolerate and just love them and understand that they're not harming you. You being disrespectful could potentially harm them. I think just respect and tolerance was one of our main messages.
And that feeds really in nicely to one of our other school values, which will be empathy. And that idea that being empathetic towards everyone and anyone, you know, knowing that our pupils know themselves and are comfortable in their own skin, but equally know of what their peers are going through and are comfortable in supporting them no matter what happens. It's that element of kindness that empathy will bring out in our school community. So it's really important that we continue this message on. I think one thing I wanted to ask you is what does it look like previously at Clifton High School? So what did you experience in terms of the way in which we've supported and tackled LGBTQ+ issues and celebrated the diversity of our community, whether it be Clifton High School, Bristol, the UK, or our global community that gets more recognition, I guess, in Pride? And what have you seen develop most lately in that?
I think at the beginning of my time in the school, it's difficult because you've got to see, not every gay kid comes out of the womb knowing, or trans kid comes out of the womb knowing that's what's up. 12 to 15, 12 to 18, even further into adulthood, it's a really awkward time in your life. You know, in that lesson in about year 6 where they're like, oh, this is what puberty is, and it's just so awkward and strange and you're not comfortable in your skin, you're just not during that time in your life, whether you're straight or not. I think what you said about being kind and empathetic doesn't just apply for LGBT students, it applies for everyone, and it's just making sure that it is applied universally, making sure that just because someone can empathise better with another straight person doesn't mean they're not making the effort to empathise with everyone in the community.
I'm glad you said that, because our ethos will look to celebrate the individual. We know, you know, our overall school aim is to recognise that individual brilliance, and it's really important our ethos moving forward looks to really hone in on that individual. And I just want to read a little part of this out, because we're thinking wholeheartedly at all of the different protected characteristics within this, not just the idea of sexual identity, sex and gender. So at Clifton High School, we want to be really proud of who each other is. Our sex, gender reassignment, age, race, colour, nationality, ethnic or national origin, disability, sexual orientation, religion, faith or other beliefs is what Clifton High School is about. You know, our ethos is to create a safe culture in which that aim of realising individual brilliance can be achieved. And I hope you understand that we're on that journey. As you said, you'll all remember that awkward PSHE lesson, whether it be year 5, 6 or 7, which made a lot of people giggle, a lot of people blush, and a lot of people then start to question their own kind of identity and their own place within society and our community. Amelia, what's really important as we move forward that we do to continue this journey in the right fashion?
I think, as you said before, those lessons when we were younger, in year 5 or 6, may have been a bit awkward about puberty. And I think it's about talking more openly and more comfortably about these issues. Like, of course, it can relate to other things like puberty, like you were taught to when younger. But I think it's about having really open, honest discussions throughout the school, throughout your senior school life, especially, to talk about these issues and make sure that all students are aware, not just LGBT people, but anyone who's not in the community, and how these issues may affect them. So it's really getting the school to continue forward with this education, rolling it out throughout everyone.
And you're handing over the kind of baton to Catherine in that sense, to lead on that from our student body. And acting as the prefect in that capacity. So I appreciate this year hasn't gone quite to plan with COVID restrictions, bubbles, lockdowns, remote learning. What in particular do you want to see Catherine and the team do over the next 12 months at Clifton High?
So one thing we've already talked about before was the idea of getting a sort of support group set up for students, and I think that's going to be, that could be very important to some people, and it could really help with education throughout the school, as well as increasing and having impact on the PSHE lessons from an LGBT person's point of view, so that it's not just what the standard curriculum could be, it's really enriching it and including lots of variety and lots of different perspectives to make sure everything's covered.
And Catherine, you've probably got your own thoughts, and you've met with Fran and Jack, who are going to support you and work as a team in this. What plans have you got in place for the next 12 months?
Yeah, I think we have already discussed those points that you've mentioned, so we're basically on the same wavelength, I think. Yeah, so next year we are already planning on setting up an LGBT support network for the LGBT students in this school, because we've noticed that it is quite, well, considering how small the school is, it's quite a large community. And we think it's important that those people get the support that they wish for, and that they understand that they aren't the only people that feel like that. And we've also been talking about PSE lessons and just widening the diversity within the curriculum, not just in the area of LGBT, but just in general, which is something that we find very important as a diversity team.
Yeah, and it's really important that we don't just kind of pigeonhole it into one month. It's really easy for us as a school to say, well, Pride Month, that's June in the UK, and Bristol will celebrate Pride in an event, so let's just wait until then to do all of our teaching and learning connected to this topic and this theme. So how can we ensure that it's something that we move forward and enable it to happen throughout the school year rather than just recognising those kind of calendar months or events?
Get it written down in policy, which is what the head has been working on, I think he told me. I had a look through school policy. There was anti-bullying policy, there was the PSHE policy. Implicitly, the LGBT community was included because it was respect for all students. If any student is bullied, this happens. But I think for it to be written down explicitly rather than implicitly, which is what the school is working on right now, in policy, this is the lessons we're going to cover, this is what we're going to do if a student or a teacher acts homophobic, this is exactly how students are going to be supported. I think it would be great for students and parents when it's sorted to be able to look at that policy and go, right, I feel safe here. Not that I didn't feel safe before, but just to have that extra reassurance. You can read this on paper or online, better for the environment. This is what the school are doing to keep me safe, to keep me happy.
Yeah, and as I said, that forms a big part of our school aim and ethos moving forward, to realise that individual brilliance. And as I said in the narration of the text, it's a big part of what we're trying to do here at Clifton High School. So yes, there will be updates continuously, I think, I guess, throughout the school year. Now, one big part of this is, as we've said already, to educate our whole community, and that extends beyond just that of Clifton High School, but Bristol and beyond. So are there any particular events, books, music or television shows that you'd suggest or recommend that you're particularly interested in, or that our young people or people listening would be inspired by?
Well, for me, I don't really look for like big things, maybe not necessarily like TV shows or whole things that I look for just based on being LGBT issues, although I do like that type of thing. But one thing I really enjoy is when I'm just on social media, just spending my time just minding my business, and it comes up with like a video of a gay scientist or something, and that's just really nice to see because it's representation in a field that I want to work in the future. So yeah, it can be just like short videos like that that can make my day or make me feel a lot better about myself.
And so do you think following particular people or particular organisations or charities online on social media accounts can support people's knowledge and understanding of this better?
Yeah, if you're really interested, if you like a person or if you like what they're doing, definitely follow them. You don't have to be an LGBT person to do this. It can be anyone to learn from it.
I am a fan of the author Alice Oseman. She writes a lot of books. Some of her books are centred around the LGBT community. So one of her books, Loveless, is about centres around the themes of asexuality and aromantic feelings, which is something that I find quite important because those aren't really topics that people think about when considering the LGBT community, because a lot of people think of, when they think of the LGBT community, they normally think of people liking people instead of not feeling those feelings at all, which I think is something important, because those people are even less represented than maybe gay, lesbian, bisexual, those kind of sexualities. So I'm a fan of her books. I'm also a fan of the author Becky Chambers. She's a science fiction writer. She herself is lesbian, I believe. And her books centre around, so a lot of her alien species in the world that she creates are gender fluid or non-binary or have same-sex relationships. And they're all quite interesting, and they kind of tackle that topic subtly, but it's still kind of there. And so I think even if you're a fan, or if it's not something that you want to be, I guess, explicit, you just kind of enjoy it and you would like that representation to be there, I quite recommend her books.
Yeah, I think it's really important that all of our young people, when they are choosing literature to read, that they encompass a wide range of authors with a wide range of context, so that they broaden their horizons in every matter, not just that to do with, as you mentioned, sexuality and gender, but that they pick a wide range of authors that will provide them with context to the real world. I know that we've got a small display in our main hall about both fiction and non-fiction publications which link towards Pride Month, and I'm confident that our young people will be able to find different publications in the school libraries that can help upskill and support their knowledge of this. But equally, as you said, some of the non-fiction books some of the fiction books that lead to giving people perspective is really crucial, and that broadens that understanding and provides a different context to those words we discussed in empathy and love already. Annika, I know that Pride Month usually culminates in quite a big event, and certainly in Bristol we would celebrate Pride with quite a big open air event on the Downs, I believe. This year it's not happening, so do you feel that some of this will be represented online and that people can tune into different things going on both locally and around the world?
To be honest, I haven't really had my finger on the pulse. I've been busy with A-levels, but I can name a couple of YouTubers that are great to follow. One of my favourites is Jessica Kilgren-Fozard. Her content isn't just centred around being a lesbian, because that's not the only part of her life. It's not the only part of anyone's life who is gay. Her content is about her life with her wife. She lives in Brighton with her wife and two dogs, and they recently had a new baby. And a lot of her videos are about LGBT plus history and also her life with a disability. So she has multiple disabilities. She is deaf. She often uses a wheelchair, and she raises awareness and helps people understand about different aspects of disabled life as well. Seeing her... She is very high femme. Seeing her wearing her pretty dresses and living her happy pastel life, it just makes me smile. And there is also another YouTuber called Jamie Rains. His YouTube tag is Jammy Dodger. He is a trans man, and he makes a lot of videos about his experience as a trans man in academia. He's just finished a PhD, and also with his partner Shaba. Both of them are bisexual as well. Another important point is that both of their partners are people of colour. I think that a lot of people look at the LGBT plus community and the representation of it in the media and just see a load of skinny white people. LGBTQ plus people come in all shapes and sizes and colours, and I think it's also important to recognise that and see that. On YouTube it's a lot easier too, because these people curate their own content, whereas in mass-produced media you have to make a profit, and therefore the people on there need to be palatable to main society. Not really the aim with representation, is it?
No, I think that's a really important point you raise, that people come in all shapes and sizes, and their representation needs to be recognised. And so when our young people are looking at resources driven by the mass media on their social media, it's often through the algorithms that incorporate what they currently look at or what they're being told to look at. And so for people to broaden their horizons and look beyond what their TikTok, Snapchat or Instagram account feeds them would be a really important message beyond that just of the LGBTQ plus community and in everything they do. And I think looking for, you know, bespoke opportunity to survey different websites and different novels and literature and videos and all types of manner of different resource, it would be a really important point for all our young people listening. That often when you Google something, you tend to get to the first, you know, one or two of the hit, which is obviously the most popular or the company that's paid the most money to get there. So I think it's about looking for opportunity to strengthen their understanding of topics by going beyond that of what's just being provided to them. And I hope that, you know, in development to our education at Clifton High School with our PSHE programme, that we'll be able to extend beyond just what's recommended and what's being advised through Department for Education and from the PSHE Association themselves. Obviously, we're not going to cater for everyone all the time. I think the most important thing that we recognise is that we provide opportunity for young people to meet together and raise discussion about topics that are close to them. And so one thing I'm really looking forward to next academic year is that ability for people across different year groups to meet and to discuss all matter of different factors, but specifically looking at diversity and inclusivity, because we are an incredible community here at Clifton High School, and it's one that we really want to celebrate further. I think giving that voice to our young people and allowing them to shape things like the curriculum, like you mentioned, as part of your role as prefects, would be really, really important. This has been really insightful. I think there'll be people listening who may have not had a particular strong knowledge and understanding of their own, and this may prompt them to go out and to look at some authors and some YouTubers and to consider what they currently know and what they need to extend of their knowledge. I think that at Clifton High School we are definitely looking at continually improving our education across all aspects of school life, and this is just one factor that we're drawing in. So it's great to have you here discussing it and talking about it and educating, as I said, our families who listen to this podcast. Are there any kind of lasting comments that you would like to share with our listeners? Do you have any take-home points that you consider to be quite pertinent to this podcast today?
I think one really important thing to remember that you have mentioned is you're listening to young people. And that doesn't just mean like young people our age, 16, 17, 18. That means people like 11, 12, 13, younger. Because while they may be young and they may not have a full, really diverse view of the world, they can have really insightful ideas. And so listening to them can really help give you, like, broaden your horizons and give you a much better idea.
Would you have anything particularly for our parent body in that sense, if they're listening today, Amelia, what would you say to them?
Don't be afraid to start discussions about this. Don't be afraid to keep them going. I think honesty about this is really important because it can help increase trust between children and parents or between friends or anything like that. I think, yeah, openness about it. Do not shy away from the topic. You don't have to know everything. Nobody does. So always be willing to learn and always be willing to talk about it. It can really help if you talk about it.
And on the flip side, Annika, specifically to our young people, the students of Clifton High School that are listening, or any students out there who have tuned into the podcast, what would you say to them?
I would say think critically. If you see during Pride Month a company or an advertisement is saying something about your community, about someone else's community, who is paying for that advert? Who is choosing to make that statement? And what do they want you to believe? And not only that, but think critically about what you're saying and what the people around you are saying and how they're acting. If your friend is acting homophobic towards someone else, why are they doing that? Might they be feeling anxious? Might they not understand? You can be empathetic by thinking critically about what is around you, and your aim should always be to be empathetic.
And Catherine, as our diversity and inclusivity prefect for the coming academic year, is there something in particular that you would like to finally just point out to the school community and beyond?
I think open-mindedness, a willing to learn, and just empathy is key. I think being open-minded towards anything and everything is so important, just in terms of understanding and just acceptance towards other people. I think those are so important, and they're something that people tend to forget a lot. Just being open-minded is so important and can mean a lot to so many people. So I think open-mindedness, empathy are something that everyone should work on and try and improve.
You'll know that we've hardly scratched the surface of this topic and this theme in just a short podcast. We'll look to signpost for all our listeners within and beyond the school community some resources that they can go to upskill their knowledge and understanding of this. That may start with just Googling Pride itself. Are there any other kind of key terms that you feel that the young people would benefit from researching as we finish today's podcast?
I think the best that I know of, the best resource for young people in the UK is Stonewall. I know they're a really good charity. They have lots of resources and information on LGBT issues.
I would say that YouTube is often a good place to start. You may have to sift through, and you may find that some of the people with the most insightful views have some of the least followers. But if you're struggling on, I don't know, appearing more masked with your clothing, if you're struggling with feeling confident about coming out to your parents, there are people on YouTube who've been through that experience and are willing to talk about it. If you think critically and watch many different videos with many different point of views, you can form your own.
Yeah, I think it's really important to raise there that within our community, we have a number of trusted adults that our young people can turn to. And it's really important that if you're listening, you understand that, you know, your form tutor, your head of year, any of our pastoral team, including our school medical team, school counsellor, but equally any member of school staff are always here to listen, to support, to guide, and to provide you with the opportunity to discuss anything that you may want. And we add to that then next year our prefects, and a number of the heads team prefects, along with our diversity and inclusivity prefects, will be available to act as peer mentors, because it may be that you want to talk to somebody of a similar age. And it's really important that within your friendship groups you've got that connection to talk to people, because often you'll have that that strong ability to reason and provide support to one another. It also extends beyond just particular groups, in that in this podcast we've identified that everyone has a role to play to be an ally, and I think it's really important that we recognize that. You know, the school wants to ensure that we concentrate on those key values of love and empathy. Both of those play into the discussion we've had today, but they significantly have a part to play in developing our young people further into the young adults they'll become. And for Annika and Amelia, you'll be heading off to that next chapter of your life post Clifton High School, where you imagine you'll experience a wider and richer community of university life. And for Catherine, you know, you will be supporting our young people further, and hopefully inspiring that next generation of people to take this on and to become champions and to really celebrate the diversity of Clifton High School. So it leaves me just to thank you, a huge thank you for giving up your time. I know that Annika and Amelia, you've come back into school for this, having finished your A-levels, but for all three, Annika, Amelia and Catherine, a huge thank you for joining us on this month's episode of Clifton High School Voices. We hope that you have enjoyed this podcast. We hope you tune into following podcasts, and if there is anything that has come up in today's podcast that you would like to discuss further, please remember that you can talk to anybody at Clifton High School, but equally that there will be some links provided on our school website to support and to signpost you to further education. We're on an incredible journey here at Clifton High, and it's thanks to our young people, of which we've got a few I've got been welcome to have here in the studio today, that is going to continue this on for the future. So thank you ever so much.
Thank you very much for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
Clifton High Voices.
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 Yeah!